murder which is sweeping the eastern third of the nation is being committed by creatures who feast upon the flesh of their victims.
The world ended. Didn't you get the memo?
They're dead. And you're gonna be next.
Wake up! Time to die.
It's a full moon. Beware the moon. And stick to the road. Oops.
I vote we get back to the slaughtered lamb.
Yeah.
You never grow old, Michael. And you'll never die. But you must feed.
My own brother, a goddamn shit-up ambassador. Will you wait till Mom finds out, buddy?
Detail, I guess I forgot to mention. You die, you lose.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn with my partner, the infamous MJ.
Oh, another Halloween has come and gone.
Oh, I know. Halloween hangover, that's the worst.
It is the worst.
Oh, I didn't get the whole night off. I got called in late, like around 11 o'clock, to deliver to lots of Halloween parties.
Oh, fun. That's always fun.
So I made some money. Nice.
Hey.
Nice.
Hey, you got to make the money somehow, right?
Yeah, see? My wallet still called to me.
But, you know, since we've... Since the last time we were on the air, our last week's podcast actually got 8 by my computer. Last time, since we've been on the air, we've launched the radio station and the website.
Yay!
emztradio.atwebpages.com is the new website, so it'll be more updated. Our friend SV Bell has his television channel on our website as well. He is excited about that. You've been hearing his commercials if you've listened to the station over the past couple weeks. And on the podcast, you've heard his commercials for Black Flag TV, and you can actually watch it on our website now.
Black Flag. It sounds so creepy. The ads are just perfect for Halloween time.
Oh, absolutely. And you want to watch. We always talk about how we love to support independent horror, and this is one of our steps to support independent horror, actually. As SV shows a lot of the independent movies and is always looking for more independent movie people. So give him a contact through his website, blackflag.tv.
I just love horror movies 24/7.
Well, this is definitely the channel for you then.
Yes, I got to get on it.
What's new?
Halloween was a mess. In my town, nobody trick-or-treats like they used to in the old days, you know, going door to door to door. Because nobody felt safe going door to door because we have, believe it or not, weird people in our town. So the town created a whole Main Street event. It's like on the main street of the town. It's 2 or 3 miles. They blocked off at both ends, and businesses set up booths and tables to pass out candy to kids in a safer environment. Mm. And then a church group, they set up little kids' games for the kids to play with in like one big parking lot, which is a lot of fun. And they're even nice to the kids that don't, you know, make it the shots into the games. So they help them out, and just they're always giving out candy and treats and everything. So it's a lot safer environment. But I really miss the old days of trick or treating when we go door to door.
Yeah, I know. Me too. And it would always be what you would do. When you were trick-or-treating is at least this is how we did it in our neighborhood. When kids from one side of the neighborhood would take a certain street, and the kids from the other side of the neighborhood would take another street, and we kind of meet in the middle and discuss who's got the fun size candy and who's got the king size bars.
Yeah.
And who's got the granola bars and, you know, what house to avoid, basically.
Or who's passing out fruit.
Yeah, fruit. You can get fruit 364 days out of the year. Leave the fruit out of it. I know it's a harvest, and yes, it is a pagan harvest celebration.
Yes.
But still, come on.
Yeah. I mean, I remember they always passed out apples and oranges. That was the biggest thing to give out at Halloween.
We use those as weapons. Actually,
last night somebody passed out little mini pumpkins. I thought that was so cute.
That's awesome. No, we would actually use the apples as defense for bag snatchers.
Oh, yeah, because they're really heavy and hard, and they bruise people really well.
especially when you clonk him in the back of the head. I did that two or three times.
Oh,
I actually knocked one kid out.
Yeah.
And we stepped over him and we walked down the street. Nobody even bothered to call for help.
Yeah, see, you can't do that anymore because people just get so weird on Halloween. I mean, not only, you know, is it a fun time for us horror fans, but regular people just get a little nutty on the day.
Jeez, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I got into about almost three or four accidents on the way home from work yesterday from people that think these people think they have to be nice to everybody else, or in a couple of the cases, it was actually parents who these subdivisions, I shouldn't say subdivisions, they're more HOAs, which I think are the worst mm-hmm. thing ever created. They rank up there with other individuals I will not use because of Godwin's law, but they are pretty close to them. And they all get together, and the parents now have to drive the kids around, can't drive them in the neighborhood anymore, like you said. And they drive the kids around, they all go mm-hmm. trick-or-treating together, and a few of these parents decide they just, you know, they've had enough, they want to get out of there, and they got the kids in the car screaming for their candy, so they whip out in front of people, thinking they're trying to be cute and all that, and almost cause accidents. And then you got the other jerks that, you know, they want to be nice, so they just slam on their brakes and let somebody out.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's not good at 8 o'clock at night. I'm just telling you people.
No.
But anyways, I think that's okay. Yeah, I think that's a good opening segment right there. So we're going to spin some music, yeah, and come back talking about how we're the best people to date in the whole world. Stay tuned.
I am Dracula. I bid you welcome.
This is Lucan Wolf, and you're tuned in to the delightful darkness of EMZT Radio.
Tell us a story, Dr. Death.
Okay.
Tommy and Sue were a happy couple, but they got in a little fight. This Tommy sat in the bar, talking to his drink. A man appeared from the shadows to give him some advice. He said,
"Here's two tickets to the circus and now go show her a time of her life. Amazing excite."
Tommy and Sue went to the circus to see the dancing clowns. When they walked into the big top, little top, no one else was around. Then walked up a cloud 6 foot tall with a killer smile and a knife. He said,
"You better come with me if you want to survive the night."
Then the clown and all of his friends the happy couple and tied them up right in the middle of the three-ring circus, and they begin to circle them, cutting and singing and moving in closer. The screaming could be heard through the gags in their mouth, and then the clowns begin to cut and cut and cut and cut.
The clowns were coming and cutting and singing and dancing all around. Tommy and Sue trying adventures, cutting smiles, 'cause that's what clowns they do.
Can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
What?
Don't cross the streams. Why? It would be bad.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good, bad thing. What do you mean bad?
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Total protonic reversal.
Right, that's bad. Okay. All right, important safety tip. Thanks, Egon.
You are listening to EMZT Radio. Come and let your ears bleed.
And welcome back to EMZT Radio here. We got a special treat for you. Our friend Dino Sands is back with a new verse that he has brought to our attention. And, of course, he's got some new stuff coming out later this year. We wanted to give you a reminder of everything he's done. So this is an interview we taped with him months ago. And then we'll play his new stuff right afterwards. So enjoy.
This is EMZT Radio's celebrity interview. We have Dino Sands, urban author of supernatural horror suspense thrillers. And we found him on Amazon. Hello, Dino.
Hey, hello, everyone. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing good.
Good afternoon, Dino. Go ahead, Bane.
Hey, what's going on, Matt?
Hey. For those of you who don't know, I started talking to Dino on Twitter, and then was very interested in his books, especially because I'm one of those, since I'm from the South, I love Southern horror, and you've got two, as a matter of fact. I believe it's in the Miss Merryweather series. I believe that's what you're calling it. A Southern Nightmare.
Yes.
Tell everybody about that real quick.
Well, the first book, Miss Merryweather, Southern Nightmare, is the one that sparked my career. And that was in 2001, I believe. And the sequel, Cry Heaven, Cry Hell, was released in 2013. So that's the end of Miss Merryweather. But, you know, Miss Merryweather started as from a dream when I was a young man in the South. So I wanted to put that on paper. And I wanted to make sure, you know, you have your Freddy Kruegers, your Michael Myers, and your Jasons. I was trying to create a character that was a female character of the same sort of the male characters, far as in horror. So I created Miss Merryweather.
And what does she do?
She does exactly what the other three men does, but she just happens to be one of the most beautiful, exquisite women in the South. But she happens to be evil. Her soul was a woman of that beauty was possessed by the spirit and the evil spirit of Miss Merryweather. So this woman is beautiful, but her evil, it's uncontrollable, and it she attacks the bloodline of this particular tool. As my heritage, I'm actually Cherokee and Ethiopian, and I wanted the medicine man on the Indian plantation is the one that cursed Miss Merryweather to hell. But she didn't stay there. So to conquer the bloodline, Miss Merryweather came back into another woman whose name was Miss Merryweather. She was actually an evil spirit that came back into Miss Merryweather.
Wow. So this character, so is she like feeding on a bloodline to stay alive, or is this all a revenge type of thing?
It's actually a revenge. Like I said, it stems back from centuries ago when the Cherokee medicine man, spiritual man, defeated her and cast her to hell and locked her in hell. She was able to free herself, but she had to come back into a form. So she used the woman in the South named Miss Merryweather, who was the most exquisite woman in the South, to rain the terror back on the bloodline.
Oh, wow. That sounds creepy in itself. Ooh.
Oh, yes. It's very scary. It's written in a Southern dialect, you know, in all the dreams and everything comes about with Miss Merryweather. And then in Cry Heaven, Cry Hell, that's the return of Miss Merryweather, because in the first novel, you think Miss Merryweather is dead, but the protagonist has some children. So Miss Merryweather is not dead, so she tries to completely obliterate the bloodline. So he has two sons, so she comes back. Because she's not done.
Ah. So how many books are in this series? I'm sorry, I haven't read them, but I'm sounding fascinated right now.
It's actually only two, and that's the end of Miss Merryweather. You know, the first one, Miss Merryweather, Southern Nightmare, and the sequel, Cry Heaven, Cry Hell, The Return of Miss Merryweather.
Oh, okay, only two. Are you going to do another Southern-type series?
Not with Miss Merryweather, I don't believe. I'm actually, after these two novels I'm releasing, I think I'm going to write the screenplay for Miss Merryweather, my first book.
Ooh, what would you name the movie, Miss Merryweather, or would you find something scarier to hook people?
I'm not sure. I haven't thought that far, but you know, Miss Merryweather is a little, you know, it's pretty, you know, pretty groovy. But I may change it up. But I'm going to write a screenplay for Miss Merryweather.
Oh, it sounds great. Are you going to do like crowdfunding or a fan-backed page, or are you going to try to have investors to make this movie?
Well, I'm gonna touch every aspect of every financial, you know, basis to try to get someone to come in on it, on Miss Merriweather. But, you know, that'll be down the road once I finish the manuscript, the screenplay. And then once I have that in place, then I'll be looking for the Kickstarter and all and things like of that sort.
Oh, have you played around with just imagining who would be the cast?
No, I really have not. And I really have not, because I've been just writing these novels and pushing them out. But I don't even want to say I have anyone in mind, but I have a lot of friends all around the world, female and male, that would be, a great fit for, this type of horror movie.
Now, would your...
That sounds like a...
Oh, I'm sorry, Vane.
No, go ahead.
Would your film company, I noticed you're co-owner of Six Shorties, would they be the one that would end up making it and possibly releasing the film?
Right. And what I tell people, that my production company is in its infinite stage, so I haven't really put any really work into it because I'm trying to push out my novels. Like I said, when I finish these two, two projects I'm working on, then I'm going to try to put more time into my production company. And yes, Ms. Merriweather will be through my production company, yes.
All right.
Oh, that'll be good.
Oh, absolutely. Well, speaking of which, you just released, I believe, a new book, Seven Dreams, A Dialogue with Evil. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and maybe get a couple extra readers here?
Well, Seven Dreams, A Dialogue with Evil, I've always been fascinated with the dime novels and penny dreadfuls of the 19th century. So I wanted to create something, with the cover, a basic blank cover. And this Seven Dreams, A Dialogue with Evil is actually what the title states, is a dialogue. And it took me a little while to create something that is just strictly dialogue to bring the readers into it to make them to scare themselves. And versus me using to put themselves in this dialogue and scare themselves. So Seven Dreams came about. It's about the son of Satan writing a book after his mother passed, which a lot of people don't deal in, thinking we think, heaven and God and Jesus and things of that sort. So I wanted to bring something about Satan having a son and a wife, and actually his mother dies and he mourns her and he writes a book, and the book of dead dreams. And it comes about, how archaeologists find things and it was found. And if you touch this book, you will have seven dreams, not dreams as a nightmare, as dreams as you're walking around. Reality becomes death. Reality becomes death, and dead people or evil, everything. And then you'll pop out of it. And I wrote that this particular guy one day was at a cemetery cursing God about taking his wife too soon. And a man in a woodland comes about. But this man is dressed in a hospital mental roll with a coat and looking shabby and like he's been out in the woods for, two or three months. So he sits down and talks to this man. And actually, I'm going to jump to the end. Actually, the dialogue is actually talking to himself. The man is him because he's the one touched the book of dead dreams. So the one that he's, the one in the grave is not his wife, is actually him.
Oh.
So the whole book is strictly dialogue from what happened to this one particular man who was cursing God. He's the one that touched the book, and he's the one having seven dreams, and he's the one that went insane, and his wife left him. His wife never died. His wife left him, and he died. So at the end, he realizes the man he's talking to is actually him. So,
what a twist.
It's a wonderful twist, and it's strictly dialogue. It has some form of vision and description and location, but it's basically dialogue at a cemetery, sitting at a grave that he thinks is his wife, but it's not his wife. And the antagonist, which is him, in a sense, that he walks up to talk to him, is actually evil. And he asks, why did he curse God and things like that? He should have never done that, because now me and you are the same people. And he doesn't realize that until the end, when he looks at his the gravestone and sees his name on it versus his wife. And then the other guy he was talking to disappears. So he's actually talking to himself. So he's actually in the ground.
Wow.
Go ahead,
so that's
Bang.
The basis of Seven Dreams, a dialogue with evil.
I'm just sitting there in shock. This is amazing. I want to read this now.
I mean, like I said, 19th century dime novels, penny dreadfuls, you know, the British forms of writing, you know.
And you're a man after my own heart. How much? I love those. I love those types of books. You know, the Pulp Fictions and the old, like you said, the old dime store novels are absolutely awesome.
Yes, they are. I grew up on them.
As did I. You got anything else, Bane?
No, I was just noticing that a lot of this writing is, it sounds like a bit of Stephen King, Dean Koontz, Clive Barker, the really reality-twisting type tales. Is that where you got some inspiration?
What I call, I grew up with, what I call, what I have is I call it the VIC. And the VIC is an acronym for visualization, imagination, and creativity. I'm trying to get to that pinnacle from, you know, to the pinnacle of the ones you just listed. That's what I'm trying to write. I'm trying to entertain. I'm trying to invoke fear and things like of that sort, like these writers you just mentioned. I'm trying to get to their status. And they are a great influence. When someone wants to be like those people that you named, it's a great honor that I'm trying to get to that place. And I want to get to that place. And I want to be in that list of names when you interview someone else. And you mention those names, you mention mine. So that's why I write and create these different novels in these different situations.
So how long have you been writing?
Well, I've been writing since 2001, my first novel, Miss Merriweather, A Southern Nightmare. I was writing since when I was a young kid, you know, but I didn't know that was going to be my talent when I became an adult. But about 10 or more years, I've been pushing out novels and short stories and screenplays and poetry. I just write anything, but, you know, horror is my passion. I love horror.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody needs to be scared.
There's nothing wrong with being scared, and I try to make sure that, you know, I call it the unreality. I mean, reality is scary in its own, you know, own mind. Reality of every day is scary regardless. When you watch the news or anything, that's scary. But I try to write the unreality. If you can take what happens in reality and switch it to unreality and still make it scary, it takes a talent for that.
Yeah, because you're taking something that you sort of can control and make it uncontrollable. That's even scarier that you have no control on your life when you twist it like that.
Exactly. I mean, when you look on the news and you see things happen with people with weapons, and that's a scary situation. But I don't, you know, that's not horror to me. I mean, when you bring in demons and ghosts and things that you cannot defeat, or cannot be defeated, then that becomes horror.
Right.
You know?
Is there another novel that you're working on besides the screenplay you're going to be working on?
Right. June, I'm releasing my next horror novel. It's called Whorehouse on Penguin Creek. And after that, I think it'll be my next novel will be released in September, The Casting of Shadows.
Ooh. Can you give us a taste of what those are about?
Well, The Whorehouse on Penguin Creek, it just came to me. Actually, one of my friends, one day I was sitting in the backyard and he had a T-shirt on from Las Vegas or whatever. It was just a T-shirt and said Whorehouse. So I said, that's a nice headline for a novel of mine. And then I was driving down the expressway. I think I was driving to, I forget where I was driving to, and I saw an exit say a sign for a creek said Penguin Creek. So I put two and two together. I said, well, I should make a novel out of Whorehouse, you know, and name it Whorehouse on Penguin Creek. So Whorehouse on Penguin Creek is, I'm not going to give you the everything, but the basis is four gentlemen who are friends going back to traveling to Texas, going to a college reunion, and they're very spry. And they see this sign that says Whorehouse on Penguin Creek, and they decide to stop for a little activity before they venture on to have more activity at the class reunion. And what I tell in the synopsis, it said, you know, every sign is not a good sign, and every good thing is not a good thing when you stop on Penguin Creek. So it's a great story. It has a great twist in it, and it's not all about sex, and it has sex in it, but it's not about sex. It's strictly horror. But it takes you to a point that watch what exit you get off of when you try to get excited about something that's going to excite you. And everything that excites you is not a good thing.
Oh, wow. So, are you doing any book tours or anything like that for any of your books?
Well, actually, I'm going to be in New Jersey on Indie Lounge TV in I think May 23rd. And I'm going to be at the Cultural Coffee Shop on April 13th. I'll be doing, I'll be a featured poet. Like I said before, I do poetry too. And I think I'm going to be going to SlasherCon in PA in June. Ooh. And I will be doing some other things in between that time. I have a list of things. I'm not going to run them off. I'll be doing a list of things on that. I was on the Steve Harvey Show twice.
Oh, yeah.
On the 100-man segment. I was asked to be on the 100-man segment, 100-man segment show twice in Chicago on the Steve Harvey Show. So I have a lot of other things going on this year. And when I'm not, I'm going to be writing my books. The Casting of Shadows, like I said, I think I may release that in September, and that's going to be a little twist too. It's going to be horror, supernatural, and sci-fi all all entangled together.
Oh,
so it's just everything I'm trying to do at one time. I'm just steady writing and steady promoting and trying to get to that pinnacle. The other authors you mentioned, I'm trying to get to where they are.
But you'll be Dino Sands.
I am Dino Sands. There's only one of me. I am Dino Sands.
That's right. Anything you're adding, Matt?
Yeah, I noticed that you work in the educational field as well. Is there anything, any type of interesting projects going on there?
Oh, no, not at all. I have, I'm still working in the educational field. I relocated from Chicago. Now I'm in Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, which is showing me Cleveland, Ohio has showed Dino Sands so much support and love. I can't even talk about, but I'm in education, but I have, I wrote a short story, Awaken, some time ago, that's being taught in the Florida school district system, and they have told me has reached over 1,000+ children, so I'm honored, that they're teaching my short story, Awaken. It's titled Awaken. It's just a short story I wrote in about 30 minutes, and it's very intriguing, and it's based with, you know, getting children from being in gangs and that sort of thing. So they tell me that, like I said, it's being taught in the Florida school district system, rather. And it has reached over 1,000 kids, and I've been able to change 1,000 kids' lives with my short story. So I'm very honored in that.
Oh, that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah, matter of fact, I come from a family full educator, so I know exactly what you mean, and that's, you know, it is literally the most thankless job in the world is being in the education system, so definitely want to thank you for that, and obviously thank you for your service, too, to this country. I noticed that you were an Army veteran, so that needs to go without saying.
Yes, I mean, I have a lot of experience being a veteran. I have a lot of stories. I mean, it may come out in a few books later on, but I have a lot of stories, that's for sure.
Awesome.
Anything else, Matt?
No, I think that'll do it.
Yeah, is there anything that you wanted to promote while you're here, Dino?
Well, I'm going to promote my my new release that releases in June, Whorehouse on Penguin Creek. I'm available. I can be found on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinster, IG. My WordPress is dinosands.wordpress.com. My website is dinosands.dsanders.wick.com. I'm available anywhere. That's anywhere. Just type Dino Sands in. I'm everywhere. And like I said, I'm going to be on Indie Lounge TV May 23rd in New Jersey. It'll be telecast all over New Jersey. I want to make a shout out to you guys and all my other fans that have supported me all through these years in my writing and things of that sort. And that's about it.
And you also can be found on Amazon. I'm looking over your list of some of your books you've done. I just downloaded Seven Dreams. I can't wait to read that one.
Oh, I'm trying to tell you, it will scare you. It's an honor to be on your show. I have no words. It's an honor.
Oh no, thank you. And we will be adding as many links as we can onto our podcast page so everyone can be able to reach you.
Okay, sounds okay, great. Sounds great. Wonderful.
Anything else, Matt, you'd like to say?
I think we're good.
Okay, Matt. All right, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dino. We'll have you on again after your next books come out.
Oh, yes. I'll be glad to be on the show again. That's
yes.
for sure.
Yes, contact us then.
I sure will. I sure will.
Anytime you wanna be on, just shoot me a line.
I sure will. I sure will, man. I sure will.
I am Wolf. Halloween Verse by Dino Sand. It was the night before Halloween, and unholy spirits lurked in the house. Suddenly came a knock at the door, an evil soul unannounced. On the mantle, human heads lay neat. Straight ahead they looked, and a pot stewed with toes and fingers. Stirred by a foot. Corpses play card, waiting on midnight for their friends to rise from their beds with nightmares of punishment that legends have saved. Ghostly dancers settled in gown took leave to potions of the devil's double down. Table lay milk with fingernails and eyeball cookies prepared by the cook. And on the floor, burning, I must say, was the cookbook.
And for the Halloween season, we should discuss 7 reasons why you should, exclamation point, should fall in love with a horror fan.
Yes, which we totally endorse and agree with.
MoviePilot.com has this really cute article. We appreciate weird things. We truly don't care about your past or the issues you may have. We've been exposed to heads exploding, blood rain, demonic possessions, killer clowns, you name it. Trust me, if you think your obsession with animal-shaped handmade soaps is weird, we've dealt with weirder. There's very little that phases us.
This is true.
except the puking. I can't stand the puking. That's just the one thing that bugs me is the puking.
It's just pea soup. Actually, I have a really good friend that ever since she saw The Exorcist has never been able to eat pea soup.
You know, I couldn't for the longest time. I couldn't eat pea soup either because I'd be like, this is somebody's puke. Oh, and did you know that, what was it, the puking scene where she shoots Father Karras in the face?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it Marin? Well, she shoots him in the face. It wasn't supposed to be like that. It was not pea soup. It was something different. And his gross out face was actually real.
But that's what I tell everybody every time they see a vomit scene in a horror film. Oh, it's just pea soup.
Just pea soup. But actually, they don't look like pea soup anymore.
I know.
It looks like a combination of oatmeal or something.
But you know...
And they throw bits of corn in it. Ugh.
Yeah. Watching Team America, which I know is not a horror film, but still... And literally for the 6 months after the first time I watched Team America, I couldn't eat cream corn. I actually hate cream corn now because of that movie.
I can eat it, but ew, yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, there's one scene that is a gratuitous throw-up scene. And it's just cream corn goes everywhere. And you could tell they didn't make no bones to hide the fact that it's cream corn.
No, that's true. We know how to handle weird sounds coming from inside your house.
Yes, we do.
We've seen everything from Grave Encounters to We Are Still Here, Sinister to The Exorcist. If there's a weird sound in your house, feel free to ask us to investigate. We're not afraid to get our hands dirty when it comes to potential haunting. When we find out it's just a squirrel, we'll hug you, then sit you down and force you to watch films on the paranormal.
What is it? It's the fun part about it? The, darling, I really love you. Because with you... I can be my real self.
Oh, yeah. We tend to be less squeamish. You fell and scraped your knee, accidentally cut the tip of your finger off chopping vegetables. It's all good. We've seen people get cut in half. We're really not concerned that you accidentally got some blood on the carpet. Yell for help. We'll wrap it up for you.
This is true. We'll even help you saw through your own leg.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yes,
we know how to do that.
We do.
We aren't really that scary. People are often worried that horror fans are going to be horrifying, angry people. In reality, we're actually some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. We love making film and book suggestions. We'll compliment your creepy doll collection, and we love to talk horror with other fans. With that being said, as our significant other, if you aren't into horror, that's okay. We'll still watch other movies with you. But I always will throw in a horror movie to have them watch.
Yes. But you know, it's kind of funny because I have some very close friends that are Disney freaks. So we watch a lot of the Disney movies together. All I can say is if you've never sat down as an adult and watched the same movie you did as a kid, you are missing out on a life experience because you don't pick up on a lot of things when you're a kid. But... I watched The Fox and the Hound the other night. I was never aware of how freaking depressing that movie is. I mean, halfway through the movie, I'm looking for sharp objects here. It was so depressing.
Yeah.
Like, and literally, yeah, my
it's
only...
really not a fair movie.
No, it's not. My only reaction is,
yeah.
How are we letting children watch this?
We're protective. If there is a crazy killer in your house, we'll go and find them. If you're possessed, we'll be right holding your hand. No matter what the circumstance, we'll protect you to the ends of the earth. Because we've been exposed to some really, really, really weird stuff.
Also, we hold bottles of salt for a reason. Thank you, Dean Chester.
Yes.
Damn, light's flickering again.
We're patient. If you ask one of us what the hardest part of being a horror fan is, it's probably finding a film that we truly love. In order to find the best ones, we have to get through some of the worst ones, kind of like relationships. We can sit through 2 hours worth of meaningless jump scares, which means we can also sit through your sob fest while you watch sloth videos. Oh, wait, is that just me? And best of all, which I think this is true, we love to cuddle. Common misconception is that as horror fans, we don't get scared of anything. Every horror fan has their weakness, and when we watch a film featuring something that we're afraid of, you better believe we're going to want to snuggle up with you and throw blankets over our heads. But do you know what that leads to? Blanket shorts! If you've never fallen for a horror fan, you're missing out. If you're currently in love with one, I give you all the creepy blessings I can put upon you, because this will be the weirdest but coolest time in your life. Because regardless of your relationship situation, the last piece of advice I can give you is,
if she loves horror movies, never let her go.
Yes, completely agree.
But I'm just too weird. Nobody likes me.
That's how I feel. I'm just too weird, or yeah, something like that. I don't know.
I compare everybody to the heroes in the horror movies, and nobody adds up to it. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. We have high standards. Yeah,
we do.
So let's get to some music here. We'll come back, wrap things up for the week. Right after this.
You're a brave man.
No, not brave. Scared shitless.
Hey, Insaniacs. This is V from Creeping Beauty, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Divorce ashes.
creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs. God creates man. Man destroys God. Man creates dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs eat man. Woman inherits the earth.
Well, that wraps up another episode of EMZT Radio.
Yeah, and we also want you to get over to the website. Radio station is completely legal. You have to go through their music player to listen to it, or you can get it on the TuneIn app. Either way, enjoy yourselves. We're going to be adding more music soon. Yes, we are going to be adding signed artists, but again, our biases are towards the unsigned artists because, you know, we want to get you guys signed and want to get you guys paid. That's the main point. So head on over, check it out.
emztradio.atwebpages.com.
Check it out, enjoying it, and hope you have a good week.
Happy Halloween!
I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
And let me give you some advice. When you leave a man for dead, make sure he's really dead.
Red Rum!
Is he back home? I'm a murderer. I'm a freak. But here... among the monsters, I'm normal. I like it here. I want to stay.
Oh, great, Valiant. Then only will we be able to get to sleep. But if we're attacked in the middle of the night, we won't even care.